some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
Wow, there you go. That was Say Aha by Santo Gold. And I've got some important, exciting news for you listeners. This is Adam and Joe, by the way. I'm Adam.
Hey, I'm Joe.
And the exciting news is that at the end of last year, right, there were rumours in the press that Santo Gold, who we just played, had changed their name to Santi Gold.
They changed the A to an I.
Right. These were just rumours, and they were found out to be incorrect.
Who's written that note? Is that you, Ben? Oh, Ben. And then he's put, after that, it goes full stop. What a stranger rumour.
What a stranger rumour.
He's made
rumor.
A typo. It's sweet that you make all the effort, but you get it wrong. It's very endearing. Listen.
That sounds like bullying of Ben, our producer.
It's not. He loves it. Anyway, he's going away on a motorbiking trip next week, aren't you, Ben?
Ben bullying. Are you going motorbiking?
Yeah, he's going on a Charlie Borman and Ewan McGregor style. No. Yeah, you are. That's why you're doing it.
Who's going to be McGregor and who's going to be Borman? Are you going to be Borman?
No.
No one wants to be Borman.
Both lovely chaps.
Exactly. They're both rufty-tufty motorcycle men.
Last week, listeners, after the show, Joe Cornish left the studio and there was a mother and a daughter standing outside the studio. Not immediately outside the doors.
And a son.
And I didn't see the son.
Yeah, he was little, but he was there.
Ah, they were standing there and as I left, they shouted, "Stephen!" So I shouted, "Coming!" and waved.
Ah, well done.
And then when we came in this morning, those very people have sent a beautiful glittery card. Their names are Chloe, Peter and Anne. Chloe's 10, Peter's 7. And the mum, it's wrong to say a lady's age, isn't it? But she's a lovely lady. And they've sent in a very nice card saying that, I'm assuming she's a lovely lady.
Yeah, she was.
Do you think she isn't?
No, she's definitely...
Okay, you just laughed. I thought maybe...
No, I was laughing at the idea that you think it's wrong to say a lady's age.
It is! That's one of the oldest rules in the man chivalry book, surely.
Just makes me chuckle when it comes out of your locker, though.
Why?
I don't know, because I don't associate you with man chivalry.
I've got a very, very chivalrous locker.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so, wow, you've confused me
now. I'm sorry, I derailed you.
You've derailed me.
Well, they were a very nice family.
They were very nice, but they've sent in a card, right? Mm. And they've said that, they say it was so nice to meet Adam. We were so glad to meet Adam. We waited for ages, blah, blah, blah. Well done, Joe, for responding. You aren't moody like Adam says.
I've never called you moody.
You told them I was moody.
No.
I'm imagining the conversation now. Oh, Adam, you're brilliant. Joe said coming, but then he walked away. And Chloe, Peter and Mum, Anne, I walked away because I'm so humble.
Yeah.
I just didn't think they were there for us. I thought they were maybe waiting for someone else.
Right.
And just happened to pop in a casual passing Stephen.
Oh.
To go over to them and go, "Hi, how you doing?" Like Adam did. Would have been so arrogant.
Hi, fans. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, fans? What do you want? Autograph, a chat? Maybe you want me to sit down and have a cup of tea with
you? Hey, don't crowd me, all right? Hey, get that little boy away from me.
That's what's happening in Adam's brain, whereas my brain was going, oh. I don't know.
Security, what the hell's this little boy doing? Get him away from me, for Christ's sake.
That's what you would have done. You would have started holding on to them and struggling with them and shouting, "Get off me, get off me."
Look, I've just done a 3-hour radio show. You think I've got better things to do than talk to people in the street?
So I wanted to make it clear to Chloe, Peter and Anne that it was purely my humility that kept me from assuming that you were there to see me. And what an extraordinary display of Adam's out-of-control arrogance.
that I would hang around and chat.
Driven by a blast of ego across the pavement.
No, it was genuinely really nice to meet you, chaps.
It was.
And you missed out on Peter's little jacket. Is he called Peter?
Yeah.
He had a jacket very much like the one you used to have in the 80s, when you painted things on the side, your sort of Top Gun jacket.
Yes.
He had lots of insignia.
Oh, lots of badges.
And emblems and stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
He was great.
I missed out. They've drawn a lovely little picture of the big British castle there. Anyway, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, guys. Well, listen, folks, what a show we've got lined up for you. We've got a Song Wars. We haven't done Song Wars for ages.
No, it's an exciting Song Wars based on attempting to write the ultimate 80s track. Plus, hopefully we're going to have some more Juvenilia a bit later in the show. We've got Text the Nation, of course, and lots of great music.
Dyslexic. Okay.
Plus, we've got a test.
Yeah. Oh, have we?
Yeah.
Dyslexia test?
Yeah.
Well, that's for later on. Right now, here's some music. This is, I love this one. I didn't choose this, though. This just happens to be on the playlist. Psychedelic Furs with Love My Way.
That sounded to me like a duet between Gary Numan and the Thompson Twins.
That's what they were like, the psychedelic furs.
Were they?
Yeah.
I would have liked them more at the time if I'd known that.
They were very good. I mean, they predated... Actually, they were around about exactly the same time as Numanoid.
Mm.
And predated the Thompson Twins a little bit. That track, I think. He's got one of the great new wave voices. He's a little bit like David Bowie meets... Clint Eastwood.
Is that what that would sound like?
I went to see Gran Torino.
You liked Gran Torino? I did. I liked it a lot.
I mean, people love that film. Mm. It's just got an overwhelming number of 5-star reviews. People say it's the best thing he's ever done.
Yep.
You didn't find it a little cliche?
No. It was playing off his heritage. It was playing off what we know about Clunk.
That's all Clunk does throughout the whole film.
The thing I like about Clunk Eastwood, right, he famously only does 2 takes.
Right.
He won't entertain any more than 2 takes. If you haven't got it in 2 takes, you haven't got it. And you can tell that when you watch Gran Torino, because some of the shots are out of focus.
Right.
And some of these, they don't have proper endings. They just whip pan to a plug and then cut or something.
Yeah.
And I like that. Something refreshing about that.
Absolutely. He certainly seemed to have knocked it out in a couple
good
of weeks.
Good ending as well. Good don't spoil it for anybody. I thought the ending was good.
You couldn't see that coming from the very, very beginning of Gran Torino?
No.
Like everything else in Gran Torino?
No, I couldn't, actually.
The best bit about it, I thought, was Jamie Cullum at the end, the jazz hobbit.
Well, I bought that in as a free play the other week, because they sing a song, Jamie Cullum and Clunk. And Clunk has sung a lot in his career.
It's too much, it sounds like.
He's sung a lot in Westerns, but yeah, he's amazingly croaky.
He's really croaky. Mm. He can barely get it out.
The song, that is.
Right.
And you get the feeling that someone must have said, like, Clint, maybe he started off singing the whole song himself. Mm. It's this kind of jazz standard. Is it a jazz standard, Grant?
No, I think it's a Callum composition.
Oh, is it? Well, it's a nice song. Anyway, I get the feeling that maybe Clint wanted to sing the whole thing. And
no, he passed out
in the end
after the 4 lines.
After the first verse.
He had
verse.
A minor stroke and
then,
keeled over.
And then Cullum comes in. He's got a brilliant voice. I never realised. Who knew? I don't know. I expected him to sound squeaky and ludicrous for some reason. That's just my own prejudice talking.
Have you never heard him before?
No, I never had. And he's great. I mean, he sounds wonderful. Anyway, there you go.
Oh, we're going to be playing quite a lot of Jamie Cullum on forthcoming shows.
Yeah, well, that would be good, I think.
Yeah.
That would be excellent. Hey, it's your free choice now, is it?
It is. What am I going to play? Oh, yeah, this is some vinyl. Regular listeners might know that we're playing stuff off vinyl every now and then. It is from the band Gangstar. They're a hip-hop band. Do you know them, Adam?
Gangstar, I remember you and me dancing around to one of their tracks. DJ in Deep Concentration.
DJ Premier in Deep Concentration. Yeah but this isn't that. This is called Jazz Thing. It's from the Spike Lee film Mo Better Blues. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I found it very cliche. No, I'm joking.
Did you?
Yeah, it was good.
And it's like a kind of history of jazz that Guru's going to give you now.
Ooh.
Backed by some extraordinary mixes and cut-ups by probably the best DJ in hip-hop, DJ Premier. My opinion.
He's in deep concentration.
Well, he is right here, and this is not only funky, but it's educational.
That's my favourite mix of things. That should be taught in schools as well, shouldn't
it? Yeah, so listen carefully, class. Okay. This is Jazz Thing. What a brilliant free play by me, Joe Cornish.
That's what you were saying right the way through the song.
Yeah, I was. I mean, what a great choice.
Everyone
sounded great.
Everyone's enjoying it in the studio and just sort of doing their own thing and reading the papers. Joe's just sat there, and then halfway through he goes... I mean, this is a very good song, isn't it? This is a really good song, and it's a very, you know, this is the mix of this song that is not played very often, and I brought it in, and I'm playing it.
And then I said that everyone else in the studio, particularly Adam, should try and, you know, take this in and try and match it with their own free play choices.
I'm really going to try.
Try and live up to that choice.
It's a lot to live up to.
A good choice.
That's big shoes to fill.
Yeah, the history of jazz.
In one song. So it's educational, it's groovy.
Educational.
It's educational, groovy.
It's groovy.
I'm like Keith Richards
teaching some sort of hip hop class.
I ran over like a cat.
Do you remember that from Steve Wright?
No.
Phil Cornwell. Anyway, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and we've got a new policy on the show, which is to launch Text the Nation. Which is one of our 2 features on the show. Actually, so we've got more features.
We've got lots of features. We've got Juvenilia, we've got Song Wars coming up.
Loads of features.
We're going to do Text the Nation to get it going early, right after this trail. Is it a trail? You told me it was a trail, Ben.
He said the trail would be at the end of this link.
Oh, God. And this link includes... I ended the link. I ended the link.
You ended the link, but very prematurely.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was humiliating.
It was a disaster. Well, luckily that free play was so amazing that I've gained myself a bit of, leeway to mess up.
You can do anything you want, yeah. Well, listen, let's just ignore the last 20 seconds and go into the Text the Nation jingle.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
And Text the Nation this week, listeners, we gave you a little bit of a early warning about it last week, is going to be gig etiquette. Adam and I are both keen live music attendees, aren't we? Is that fair to say?
I'm keen when I've got the chance. I haven't been to a gig for a long time.
No. We go to gigs a lot.
We go to gigs all the time.
We go to gigs all the time. We love them.
Yeah.
And we've got strong opinions on how people should behave at them.
Absolutely.
So we're looking to draw up a sort of a manifesto for behaviour at live gigs.
And this is also things that would improve the experience of seeing live music, right?
We want 10 bullet points. I'm not asking you to send in 10 bullet points. You only have to send in your suggestions for one of the bullet points.
Yeah.
But at the end of the show, we want to end up with a 10-point manifesto for behaviour at gigs. And what's going to happen is this manifesto will be taken around to all live venues by a jackbooted police force in black jumpsuits, white motorcycle helmets with electric prods,
right,
like in THX1138.
Oof.
And it'll be enforced.
Yeah.
And whilst making life scarier, it'll also improve the behaviour and people's enjoyment of gigs.
We could get the pigeon detectives to enforce it. I imagine it's the kind of thing they would enjoy.
You think so?
Yeah, they're rough boys.
Really?
And they love live music.
You sound excited by that.
I am a little bit.
So text us. I'm not sure what the text number is.
24046?
No, that's 64042. No 64046.
Oh, I was there.
This is dyslexia. Dyslexia, isn't it?
Yeah, numerological. Does it cover numbers as well, dyslexia?
I don't know. We're going to find out later in the show.
Mm.
But listen, here are some suggestions. And I think this is a subject that's covered quite regularly by Word magazine.
Yeah.
And possibly by every other radio show in the world. But we're going to make it different.
Plus, we've done it as well.
Have we done it in the past?
I think so, yeah.
Well, we're doing it again. We're going to make it exciting and different. Here are some ideas. Idea number one, audiences at gigs should be positioned in height order.
That's brilliant.
Now, as a tall man, I'm being sacrificial here, because obviously I would be relegated to the back.
Yeah, but you'd still be able to see, wouldn't you?
Well, exactly. I think when you buy your ticket, you have to give them your measurements.
Yeah.
Or maybe it would be included in your new government-chipped ID card. When the, THX-style state begins, we'll all have chipped ID cards.
Yeah.
But when you buy your ticket, you have to tell them your height, and then you get allocated a special area of the auditorium where you won't be obscuring the view of the person standing behind.
And would you be super strict about it? I was thinking, what about just having an enclosure?
Couples would be split up. If there's a small lady who goes out with a tall woman...
Right.
You know, say what you need to say, then you won't see them till the end of the gig.
That seems extreme.
Well, but it's for the greater good.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
What about just having an enclosure for short people that's voluntary?
Well, that's a better idea.
And
with
so,
some straw.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to have straw in the enclosure. But you could.
And an electric fence.
No. Just an enclosure where the short people can stand if they want that's near the stage, but you have to be short. You're not allowed in if you're tall.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
That's quite a good idea.
So it's voluntary. But I agree with you that some legislation needs to be put down about height.
Idea number two, for bands below a certain decibel, all bands are given a decibel rating.
Right.
The volume at which they play.
Fleet Foxes would be a good example of a quiet band.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For bands below a certain decibel, there is silence enforced during songs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No loud singing along. I paid to hear the Fleet Foxes, not Kev from Teddington, singing along to the Fleet Foxes right next to me. You know?
Right.
So that's another thing, a decibel rating. And so for metal bands and rock bands where the music's so loud that you can't hear the person next to you singing along, that's fine. But if it's a quiet gig or a jazz gig or the Fleet Foxes, enforced silence.
And what about if some of the music is loud and some is quiet?
Well, those bands aren't allowed to play.
Because they're too inconsistent.
Yeah, they're too inconsistent. Bands, that's something bands have to do. They have to meet us halfway. They have to have a consistent volume.
Right, and so if you're a band like Radiohead...
I mean, all bands are like that anyway now, because their music is compressed for iPods, isn't it?
Right.
I was reading a thing in the paper that said all bands are loud now.
They're too loud.
Because for iPods, it's all compressed and there's no nuance anyway.
Right, but when they're playing live, though, I mean, you've got some loud songs and you've got some quiet songs.
Mm. And not anymore, you haven't.
Structure your set to go loud. Right, so now what you have to do is you have to declare whether it's going to be a loud set or a quiet set.
Maybe some sort of a light above the stage that tells people whether talking is allowed.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, have you got any?
Yes, I was thinking... Actually, this was suggested by someone else in the studio last week. I can't remember who. Maybe it was Liz Kershaw's producer. Mm. But it was the notion that fridges, beer fridges, should be switched on and kept switched on until the very end of the gig.
Right.
That's sometimes not the case.
What's the problem there?
Well, they switch them off or
they sort of shut the bars before the gig ends.
Well, they don't coordinate the chilling of the beers properly at all. Sometimes you get all disgusting warm beer. I mean, it's not a problem if you've got draft beer, I suppose, but...
So you're saying that cold beer should be available all the way through the gig?
Yeah, very cold beer, ice buckets of beer in some fashion, or just fridges that actually work.
Another of my ideas is to serve beer with lids on.
Yeah.
So you don't get it spilt all over you the whole time.
Right, like little coffees.
Yeah, whose idea was it to have hundreds of people crammed tightly together and then fill, you know, squeezy, fragile plastic cups to the brim with beer? It's like some ridiculous, it's a knockout game or something.
Yes, exactly.
Trying to shove through all the people you got 2 inches of beer left. Never mind.
That's right. That's a very good idea.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And straws, maybe. You can have straws that would get people drunk too fast, right?
Yes, that's true.
But you could have little, you know, like you say, coffee shop sippy cups.
Yeah.
Sippy cup caps.
Or patches.
Patches?
Can you do patches for alcohol?
What do you mean, patches?
like nicotine patches, you know what I mean?
Instead of actually having fluid?
Yeah.
I haven't thought that one through. You haven't.
No.
I thought you just meant nice patches with patterns on them.
No. Listen, why don't we come back and have some more of these after the news in the second half hour?
64046 is the text number for your suggestions for our gig behaviour manifesto.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's 9:30 and it's time for the news.
Extraordinary noise.
That's Danny Black. He's alone.
He's
alone.
Oh, well, it's all right. He's got glasses like a cassette. Have you seen that picture?
No, let's have a look.
Ben, our producer, puts little pictures of some of the bands to give us a talking point. And this guy, Dan Black, has got a pink cassette. And he's cut a triangle out of the middle bottom so that it sits on his nose. And he's looking through the spools as if they're glasses. That's quite good, isn't it?
That's brilliant. I can't believe no one's done that
before. I know. Wow.
That's amazing. Well done, Dan Black.
Very good. It looks slightly precariously balanced. He'd have to stand very still. Maybe he's put little, you know, what are they called? Ear things. What are the things that hold glasses onto your ears called?
Arms.
On them.
Fingers. He has a nice face, though. I mean, you can't see the eye part of the face because it's obscured by the cassette. But he looks like a handsome man and he's got a nice haircut there.
Yeah.
He's fashionable.
It says, apparently he's done a wicked cover of the Notorious B.I.G.'s Hypnotize, which is on YouTube.
It's a fun fact supplied by Ben on our fact sheet.
That's all happening.
And that I like the fact that... excuse me, I'm getting a bit emotional about it, Ben. I like the fact that... I was going to say something so banal, I'm not even going to say it.
Go on, say it.
I like the fact that the aspect ratio is correct on the picture. It's not squashed. Sometimes you print out pictures, they're a bit squashy off the internet. This one is just right.
Noted from last week.
Yeah, thanks very much. Now, listen, folks, we often get a lot of eggcorns sent in to us because it's something that we've talked about previously on this programme. And there was a couple that made me chuckle that came in this week. And just to remind you, an eggcorn is a misheard word or phrase, right? I mean, I think they're called eggcorns.
I think we may have got the definition slightly, not wrong, but not accurate enough.
Right.
I think there's another level to it, because some people have emailed us in about that as well, that it has to, it's something about it suggesting, I don't know. I wish I'd never started saying this.
Yeah.
Let me think about it. I'll come back to you.
I bet you do. I mean, that was disastrous. Disastrous bit of radio there. But no, you know, it comes from the fact that if you mishear the word acorn, you might think that it was the word eggcorn, right? So, in a similar vein, well, here's some examples that'll make you understand if you don't already. This is from Johnny X. brackets,
Johnny X.
Will Baxter. And he says, in fact, I think he's the Johnny X ages ago that sent something in that we...
Really? If you're going to call yourself Johnny X, don't put...
Well, no, we called him Johnny X because, because I think Will Baxter, ages ago, suggested a blow-dry clip, the clip of the bad accent.
Oh, yes.
Which we played.
With
and
Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, and we forgot what his name was. We called him Johnny X.
There we go.
So it's Will
Baxter.
Giving
him a cool new name.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Will says, my friend just told me that he was going to Portugal for some rest bite. I didn't know how relaxing
that's
that would
good.
Be.
That's like rest is a delicious snack.
Yeah.
And he's having a little bite of it.
So he means rest bite, obviously. And yeah, rest bite. Hmm. And here's another one from Nick. And he says, hi, Adam and Joe, I've got an egg corn for you. It came from one of my colleagues who often comes out with things like this. On this occasion, we all fell about laughing and made little effort to hide our amusement. He, for he shall remain nameless, said about one of our workmates, he's the vein of my life. The vein of my life.
Mm. That would mean he is your lifeblood, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It would mean he is, I'm saving you here. It would mean that his mere presence is like your jugular, providing your essence, essential.
It's nice that you stepped in after that
Thanks.
Laugh. That you
now
did.
I'm struggling.
After the laugh, that after I said, he's the vein of my life, your laugh was...
You know, that I've had that idea, actually, to go through our podcasts and pick out the most insincere laughs. Because there are sometimes some very insincere laughs. There's laughs when, yeah, when you're just trying to support your co-broadcaster, you know? Just
yeah,
keep
I
things
do.
Ticking over.
I do know.
But there's clearly no actual amusement behind the laugh.
Yeah. Dead laughter.
Yeah. Do me a laugh now. Do your most convincing laugh now.
My most convincing one?
Yeah.
Well, I could really go over the top, or just a regular one.
It's got to be convincing. I've got to think that... I've got to think... Was that it?
Yeah.
That was quite good. You see, I'm convinced by that one.
Right.
I don't think I'm as good as you.
No, well, I have to use my fake laugh on
How
you
about
a
that?
Lot.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Was that convincing?
Very insincere.
Very insincere. Yeah. What did you say? You have to use your fake laugh a lot?
A lot. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because some of the stuff you say is so lame.
How wooed.
There you go. That was a real one. But this one... that's not. I went wrong. This is absolute rubbish. What are we talking about?
Fake laughter.
Fake
is an
laughter.
Important component. Of,
what's the best? Can you do like a really over the top fake laugh? That doesn't sound real. That sounds silly.
Yeah, well, that's another technique. That's another technique folded into it, which is to get the person to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, you're really funny, but I'm hysterical.
Okay.
So go away.
How about this? Does that sound real?
It sounds like a kind of Victorian era laughing policeman.
Right, it's like a sound
sort of
effects.
A BBC sound effects record. Yeah,
yeah, quite good though.
Yeah,
didn't you think?
Yeah, I think you've got a fake laugh that goes kind of like that. It has a high note.
Oh,
at the end.
I know the one you mean.
Yeah,
yeah, that's laugh.
I know that's one of your fake ones.
That's laugh.
Like, ah, it's so funny. It's just 5F. I can't laugh.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Anyway.
I'm exhausted. Should we play some Marvin Gaye right now? This is What's Going On.
What is going on?
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, that's an American soul singer called Marvin Gaye.
Is he actually gay?
He isn't, no, and that's proved by the fact that there's an E on the end.
Oh, right.
Do you know that's... did he even put that E on the end? I think he did.
Because he didn't want people to think he was a homosexual soul singer?
Mm.
That's a shame.
He was very insecure.
Right. Well, it was a different time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the old days. Should we have Song Wars?
Okay, then.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test.
So check it out. It's time for Song Wars, and if you're a new listener, this is the part of the show where Adam and I go away. There's more to it. Don't get excited. We're not going to leave. We go away and record songs based on a theme, and we do them entirely ourselves using our laptops, and then we battle them. We're going to play you both songs, my song and Adam's song, and we invite you to vote for the one you like best via email. Is that right, Ben? It's no text votes are allowed, are they?
No,
you have to vote via email. The email is adamandjoe.com. 6music@bbc.co.uk.
And next week we will announce which one has won and play that one, and it'll be like crowning the king of music.
And then neither song will ever be heard ever again by anybody ever.
No, that's true. Someone asked me if we were going to do a Song Wars Volume 2, because we did a Song Wars Volume 1 iTunes album, but there's no plans currently for Volume 2.
Well, we're going to release them in some way. We're going to figure that out.
Yeah.
But anyway, this week's theme was the ultimate 80s song.
Right.
Because we've observed that the 80s is all trendy again, with acts like La Rue, and that's the only one I can think of at the moment.
Empire of the Sun.
Yeah, the kind of 80s thing is very much back in vogue. So we thought we might try and cash in
Black
on that.
Kids.
By writing the most sort of quintessentially 80s songs we could, right?
Yes, and the only stipulation we had was that it should feature a spoken word passage, right?
Yeah, 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 exactly. We observed that as one of the tropes of 80s songs.
Yeah.
A little sort of spoken word bit by the singer. So I'm tossing a coin, heads or tails, Adam?
I call heads to go first.
It's tails.
You go first.
Okay, my track, listeners, is a kind of attempt to recreate Trevor Horn era ABC.
Oh, wow, that's ambitious.
I know, it's a bit overly ambitious. I was trying to, squeeze out of GarageBand Trevor Horn style... You know, and for younger listeners, Trevor Horn had a very sort of bombastic orchestral style.
Mm.
And the ABC album Lexicon of Love is probably the most extraordinary work out of that style. So I was trying to recreate that sound, and I was trying to do a Martin Fry impression. This is basically an ABC song.
Yeah.
And just to understand what's happening in this song, you've got to kind of think of Martin Fry, the lead singer of ABC. He's in his house or maybe in the studio, and he's singing one of his over-the-top 80s lush funk ballads when he's interrupted by his backing singer or girlfriend with some petty domestic concerns, and things go downhill from there.
Wow.
So this is just called Incredible Song. So here's song number one, Incredible Song.
When the world is like a huge potato, and it looks as though you've had your chips, you thought that you could trust the captain, now you're sailing on a sinking ship. Let's go. Don't interrupt my vocals,
I can't find it.
It's under the stairs.
No, it isn't.
Won't you leave me alone when I'm singing this incredible song?
No one understands my 80s genius.
Or perhaps you're just a melodramatic ponce.
It's just my style of singing.
No, it isn't.
You called me a ponce.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll stay if you say that you love me and my incredible song.
Okay, I love you and your incredible song.
Good, because I'm hungry.
Now make me mighty.
Wow.
There we go. That's just a glimpse into the, you know, the domestic problems of an over-the-top 80s singer.
That is extraordinary. I mean,
thanks.
That's overwhelming. The thing is, that I mean that was sincere. You can actually sing. That's a thing that you have over me in the whole Song Wars thing. And so
not sure that that's true.
It means
you sung a very nice ballad for your lady wife on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it was a little histrionic. But anyway, for vocal stylings, you nailed Martin Fry. I mean,
that's very nice of you to say.
That was amazing.
You know, I have nailed Martin Fry.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm. Everyone would like to, in his gold lame pants. I went for someone whose vocal stylings I thought that I could approximate a little more easily. I went for Phil Oakey.
Ah, good choice.
But he's hard because he kind of sings quite low, so I thought it would be easy, but actually it's difficult to make it sort of punch through the track. You know what I mean?
With Song Wars, when you start out on a song like that, you very seldom have time to stop and restart.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to, you have to go the whole hog, don't you?
Yes.
Lindsay hog.
But my, what I did, I mean, Phil Oakey is just one of the many vocal influences that is in my track, as
the
you will
hear. The Oakey
Vokeys? Yeah. The Oakles. It's a mishmash of all kinds of different bits of the 80s in one track. In fact, I think maybe I've overloaded it. But I won't say any more. I'll just play you. This is just called 80s Song.
One thing that I really hate is how we are no longer in the 80s. I wish Doc Brown from Back to the Future could take me back there now in his DeLorean car. I'm going back to the 80s, a decade of fun. You could make lots of cash and gender bend in the sun. You could dress like a ponce or a pirate from space and draw wavy lines on your face. Margaret Thatcher, shoulder pads, New Kids on the Block, fresh body popping, funny Eddie Murphy, Metal Mickey, a Day-Glow sock,
New York girls who dressed all slutty, boys from Camden who were nutty, the king of pop when he was black, Shack Attack.
I live in the 80s, my life is fantastic. I've got a giant flat made of money and plastic. I play Space Invaders, I drive a C5. What a great time to be alive.
This is a sample of James Brown.
Scratching.
I'm a sexy woman.
We had the Beastie Boys for tea. Their behaviour was disgraceful. They vomited on Adamant and Boy George got a faceful. Ad-Rock broke my Rubik's Cube and Mike D punched Rick Astley. MCA watched MTV. The whole thing was just ghastly.
The 80s were destroyed by the Beastie Boys. They were so rude and made a terrible noise. Why did they have to
shout
at the
end
of every
line?
Before them everything was fine. Oh, take me back today, it's horrible here. There's crappy 80s music, unemployment and fear. Oh wait, they had those then, of course I nearly forgot. In fact, things haven't changed a lot.
Wow, I like the one syndrome hit in the middle of that. Boink, boink, towards the beginning. That's very good. So there you go, listeners. Those are the two Song Wars songs this week. Song number one was Joe's song. Incredible song. Song number two was Adam's song. 80s song. Brilliant names there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 80s song. And I noticed that we both used the word ponce as part of our lyrical
Well, it's one
package.
Of the key 80s words.
It's the ultimate 80s
one
word,
of the
isn't
defining
it?
Buzzwords.
It's the ponce decade.
It was when it was fine to be a ponce.
Right.
That's why we liked it so much.
It was encouraged.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good thing. And hey, hopefully those times are coming round again.
Ponce times. It's time for a free play of mine right now.
Can I remind people where to vote
for
the songs? Vote, please, by email, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. You can vote if you're listening again or listening on the podcast. You can vote any time up to close of business on Friday. They'll be counted next Saturday morning.
I think we're going to play those songs again before the end of today's show. But right now, it's time for a free play, a bit of real music. This is one of my favourite bands. This is Spoon, and this is a track called The Agony of Lafitte, and it's one of those tracks that's actually very bitter. It was written about an A&R guy who ended up dropping the band and sort of stabbing them in the back a little bit.
I hate A&R guys.
So, you know, and especially he was called Ron Lafitte.
I hate Ron Lafitte.
So Spoon wrote this song, like, all about how bitter they were about it. And usually songs like that leave a bad taste in the mouth, right? But this one is sweet. You know, if you're going to have, like, a bitchy song written about you, then you can't beat this one. This is The Agony of Lafitte by Spoon.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
Now, I haven't had a chance to prepare many Text the Nations because I was eating a chocky bar.
Yeah, that's
Is
fair
that
enough.
A good excuse?
Absolutely, that's fine. Incidentally, listeners, you just heard My Girls by Animal Collective. That's a very good album that they've just released, and that's a track from it. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and yes, we are rejoining Text the Nation, the theme of which this week is gig etiquette. Specifically, we are trying to compile a manifesto containing 10 points that will improve the gig-going experience for people all over the world.
Here's a couple more of mine. Making way for someone to move past you.
Yes.
You know, you're packed in a crowd and someone starts pushing past you, so you politely sort of create a space that wasn't there by pushing yourself really close to your partner or something to let the person step through.
Yeah.
And they step into that space and just stay there. Do you ever get that?
That's awful.
You've compressed yourself in an uncomfortable way to let them past, and they interpret that space as a space they can occupy.
Yeah, wrong.
Wrong. Bad. My number nine was guys who take their shirts off and then start falling into people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the thinking there? There's always several people at every kind of gig who think it's amusing just to be out of control and fall over on everybody.
That's a young person's thing,
though. Is that slam dancing?
Maybe that's a little bit of slam dancing, Grandpa.
If you haven't realised, listeners, Text the Nation this week is all about gig behaviour. We're trying to build up a 10-point manifesto to improve live music.
I thought you were going to say, if you haven't realised, we're both very old.
That's a fake laugh. Oh dear.
I think that's fair enough, though, isn't it? You can't stop people, exuberant
yes,
young
you
people, from
yes,
stripping off.
Yes, you can.
You can.
The police can. With the electric prods.
The pigeon detectives.
Exactly.
Right.
So here are some suggestions.
What's your problem with that? You just don't like being bashed into by naked men?
Yeah, topless men falling into
some people
into
love
me.
That, though.
I don't know how to respond. Sorry, mate.
Caress them.
Caress them. Mm. That would freak them out.
Lick the sweat off them. That would stop them, at least.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Did you just lick me?
It might start them.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows what could happen?
Well, you could go down an exciting new avenue.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's one that I thought of, right? A point for the manifesto. And this is to cover, like, when you go to the lavvy, right? Sometimes during a boring song, everyone will go to the lav at the same time. And you might get stage fright when you're all queued up at the urinal. Mm. This is more a man thing than a woman thing. And so you're all lined up at the urinal during the boring song. You get a bit of stage fright. And as you're straining to do your whistle-wazzle, you get an airborne toxic event, right? And it's very humiliating and embarrassing. And so I was thinking what would be nice is if they just have very loud music playing in the lavs. I mean, you get that sometimes anyway. Mm. But a lot of the time at a venue, you'll go into the lav and it'll suddenly, there'll be no sound. And it'll be all eerily quiet. I mean, there might be a couple of drunken yobs discussing things, but sometimes it can be very quiet.
And that's a good idea.
And a bit of a humiliating event.
Loud music in the lavs.
Yeah, to cover up events.
Yeah. Here are some that have come in from listeners. Tom says, I suggest no wearing of band merchandise while actually at the gig. It really annoys me when people wear a T-shirt of the band who are playing as if they're trying to stake their claim for the band and make sure that everyone else knows they're the biggest fan.
It does seem a bit redundant to actually wear the shirt at the gig.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Doesn't it make you just a super fan?
I suppose it does. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I wouldn't get annoyed about it.
Well, Tom's annoyed.
Tom's furious.
Tom, I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, I think the point of this manifesto is just to be a bit sort of
fascistic.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Right.
Here's one from Amy in London. She says, my suggestion for gig etiquette would be no snogging. Or no over-the-top snogging, at least. There's nothing worse than getting stuck behind a couple really going for it. This happened to me at a Radiohead gig years ago and nearly ruined their rendition of Airbag.
Hmm.
I like the fact that she says that you're allowed sort of snogging, but no over-the-top snogging. Because that gives the police something to do.
Heavy petting.
Yeah, they just watch. And then at a certain point, when things sort of step over a slightly nebulous line, prod. Bzz,
I guess, what would that line be, though? What, like, hands down pants and things like that?
No, that's not really snogging, is it?
Mm?
I think just in your world, maybe it is. I don't know. I think that's up to the police's discretion.
That isn't snogging, is it? No. That is up to the police's discretion, right?
Yeah. I think when it gets a bit too erotic.
Right, when they start drooling and the eyes are closed and their heads are all winding around.
Yeah.
And maybe moaning as well.
Is like that? That's funny.
That's Clint Eastwood getting a snog.
Do you agree with that one, though?
No, I think it's... What's wrong with snogging? Come on.
You like it.
I like a bit of
you
snogging.
You should move a little closer to the snogging.
Certainly.
Couple.
I'll so try and get in there.
So your trousers are brushing the lady.
I'm trying to squeeze between them and get a snog myself.
Pop your tongue in just in case they don't notice. Hang on a second.
You went too far.
Why?
I wouldn't do that. Because you're suggesting I would go in and pop my tongue into someone else's mouth while they were snogging.
Well, we've heard about your toothbrush activities. We know your oral hygiene standards are low.
Yeah, well.
Ash from South Pems says, big fat hairy blokes must remain fully clothed at all times.
That's a very good... I mean, that's a good rule just for life in general, when it gets hot and stuff, you know?
Melanie in Stretford says, hi, Adam and Joe, I think no ponytails allowed worn high on the head at gigs, therefore no flicking it in the face of the person behind.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of these just have to do with being in a crowd.
Well, exactly. If you're going to stand in the mosh pit, you take your chances, you know what I mean? You can't legislate for that. I think that's an area... Within the mosh pit area, maybe there should be clearer definitions for where that area is. There should be a zone, a mosh zone. When you go into the mosh zone, you are not covered by any of the regulations. It's a little demilitarized zone and you can just go nuts. And you can break all of these rules.
That's a good idea.
But outside the mosh zone, you will obey the manifesto.
Good idea. One last one from Johnny. He says, no taking photos or videos on mobile phones.
Oh, that's well...
Where do people put those videos and photos? The people who, like, film a three-minute section of a concert from the middle of the crowd in what's presumably pretty bad MP3 quality audio.
Yeah.
What do they do with
those? They put them on YouTube. And then if you're a fan of the band, if you're a super fan, you'll go and you'll type in the name and you'll just get loads and loads of rubbish MP3s of them playing their
Seems
song.
A bit pointless.
It is totally pointless. Completely distorted
it's
sound.
It's very modern.
Very modern, but I guess you get a little thrill, I suppose, to watch it.
Not anymore.
No.
Banned.
Good.
Banned.
That's something the world
If you've got a contribution for our gig etiquette manifesto, please text us on 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
Ben, are we just about to play What I Am by Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians? That one, right? Was this on an advert, like, ages ago in the 90s and stuff?
I don't know. We could make him skip it.
Yeah, because you weren't you going to start doing that, going through
the
playlist?
Yeah, I've forgotten to do that. Do we not want to play that?
Let's play it anyway, because, I mean, it was a fun... People liked it, right? Nice. We want to make people happy. You like it, right?
Yeah.
Did you pick it, even?
No.
Yeah. Let's hear it. Maybe it's improved with age. This is What I Am by Edie Brickell. I mean, that's like a quintessential 90s sound, isn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Yes,
that reminds me of Friends, the TV show, and coffee bars, and indeed, on into the noughties, it reminds me of Apple stores, you know, the Apple Mac computer stores.
Yes.
Where they have people, loads of people wandering around, being individuals, thinking of what they're going to, when they're going to update their blogs and making appointments for the Genius Bar.
Going to the Genius Bar.
The Genius Bar. The thing that makes me laugh is, I mean, they don't chuckle when they actually refer to each other as geniuses.
But they take it seriously.
None of them crack
they
a smile.
To.
And I can't take it seriously. Every time they say, oh, you're going to need to see a genius, I just laugh.
They do good courses there, though.
Right.
Yeah, a friend of mine's doing a Photoshop course. It's like a quid or something.
Seriously.
Course,
really?
Yeah, Zach is, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a bit personal chat there, listeners.
Yeah,
are we on?
Yes, we are, yeah.
Hello.
Hey.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's time for a flea play.
Yeah, you're going to pray to some fleas.
Yeah, I'm going to pray to fleas. This is a kind of a plug for a forthcoming film.
Oh.
But I was raving about Gran Torino to you, Adam Buxton, and
we've
been discussing how disappointed Adam Buxton was with Gran Torino.
Little. I was expecting something different, and Joe...
Raise your expectations.
You very intelligently pointed out that if you sort of look at it as like a Western, but set in suburbia... And dealing with race relations rather than...
Some of its simplistic plot mechanisms are more forgivable and enjoyable.
I was expecting
talking about Gran Torino.
Yes.
Yeah. So now I'm a bit wary about enthusing about another film. Because maybe people will just be disappointed.
No, your recommendations are usually on the money, I would say.
This is a Swedish vampire film called Let the Right One In. And it's terrific. It's a sort of arty film, but it's really good. It's about a little boy living in Sweden in the 80s in a sort of housing estate, and a mysterious neighbour moves in, a young girl who he befriends. And that's all I tell you. It's coming out in a few weeks. It's really good. But the title of it, Let the Right One In, is taken from a novel called Let Me In, a big, successful Swedish horror novel, which itself is inspired by a Morrissey track called Let the Right One Slip In.
Ooh.
So I'm going to play that Morrissey track. This is called Let the Right One Slip In.
And it's not about vampires, this track.
It's not, no. I'm not really sure what it's about. But this is by way of, you know, tipping people off to this forthcoming movie, Let the Right One In. So here it is, Morrissey.
very nice.
That's Morrissey with Let the Right One Slip In.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and we are going to do a bit of juvenilia for you right now. But incidentally, we got an email during the week from a chap, and I've got it written down here. Oh, come on. Here we go. This is from Robert. Robert says, Dear Adam and Joe, I love your show more than custard, but if you say juvenilia instead of juvenalia one more time, I'll scream. Cheers, Robert. He thinks we're using the wrong word there.
We think he's wrong.
So what I've done, Robert, is I've looked up. I thought you were wrong about that. So I looked it up, and the dictionary definition...
You know how I know he's wrong?
Oh.
Because that word was introduced by Louis-Sébastien Theroux
right.
when we were about 15 or 16 or something. I remember he used it, and he never gets anything wrong.
You know, he's a smart ass.
Yeah, he especially stuff like that.
Well, yes, and it turns out that it is the right word. The definition of juvenilia is, one, the literary compositions produced in an author's youth, mm-hmm. or two, literary productions intended for the young. So that refers to literary stuff. Juvenalia, though, is scenic games instituted by Nero in AD 59.
There you go. So what's his name, the gentleman who called to complain about that?
That
who
was
wrote?
Robert.
It would be wrong to do an undignified display of,
exactly.
you know,
yeah.
but you're sussed.
You're sussed in your face! In your face, Robert! But thanks very much for your email.
Mm.
And that would be, incidentally, the wrong thing that we just demonstrated. We weren't actually doing
that's
that.
That's a bad thing to do. That's ignoble.
We were showing what a couple of prats would do.
Yeah, which we are not.
No, by no means. So here's the jingle for... This is quite a cloying jingle. I've got to come up with something better than this. But this is a real young person doing a bit of singing over our jingle here.
Here's something that I done when I was very young. It's a good looking
Kenya.
It's time for some juvenilia.
Yay. yes, listeners, this is the part of the show where we play bits of stuff that people have recorded. I'm just explaining what the jingle already explained.
Yeah.
But we were playing some stuff we'd recorded as kids on little tape recorders. Chiefly, when you're a child and pretending to be a DJ, the kind of thing we're both still doing here on Six Music as adults. But we had more excuse for being so shoddy when we were kids. And we asked you to send in your own version or your own tapes of pretending to be DJs. And this is one we got from a fellow called Matt Rowbottom.
Matt says, Dear Adam and Joe, I listen to your show a lot, and when I heard you talking about pretending to be DJs when you were kids, my ears pricked up. I used to do that, I thought. How cool! Then, when you asked us to send in some of our own recordings, I couldn't believe it. I must send in some of my stuff. I could actually get played on national radio, albeit sounding like a buffoon. But how cool would that be, he says. I know, I still sound like a kid, and I'm actually 32. It's exciting, though. Me on national radio. I've always wanted that, he says. and he says, here's a little history about how I got into it. He used to make tapes with his dad's double cassette ghetto blaster, right?
Mm.
I mean, that was an entry point for a lot of people as soon as those double cassette things came out. That was good times. He says, this all moved on in 1989 when my family moved house and I ended up in a loft conversion bedroom. I wanted my radio shows to sound more professional. So with money given to me for my 13th birthday, I bought a disco mixer from Tandy and a cheap mic. Attic Radio was born.
Wow.
I roped in my friends and next-door neighbours, brothers Thomas and Andrew Fowler, to help me. We also recorded our own jingles, Happy Days. And so we're going to play three clips right now from Attic Radio. And it does sound amazingly professional. I mean, it sounds like it could have been at least hospital radio. You
know how old was this guy when he recorded
13
it? 13.
At this point. And I think the thing to point out, as far as I can tell, is that he is not being ironic in any of these clips. These are sincere opinions that he's
expressing.
Well,
because his voice is broken,
yeah,
or has certainly started to break, it sounds as if it might be sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it isn't.
No, it's
this
absolutely
is utterly sincere.
100% sincere. First of all, here he is talking about just fashion trends. It's a talking point on Attic FM, right? Here he is.
Okay, if I said to you the word fashion or the word trend, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? Is it music? The music that's in the fashion? Or is it clothes? I think mainly the most thing that will come into your head is clothes. Now, what do you wear after school? Out of school, if you go to youth club or something like that, or what do you like wearing? I've heard that it's actually in the trend to wear a hooded top. It used to be the trend to wear a shirt with a t-shirt underneath it. What do you think? What's your opinion? Write into the usual address, Attic Radio Wells, blah, 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 you know. And tell me what you think.
It's not going to get there at that address, though, is it?
He's sort of... His sentence construction is quite Italianate, isn't it?
Yeah.
The music that's in the fashion, he says.
Yeah.
It is in the trend to wear a hooded top.
That sounds like Mario.
Yeah, it is Mario.
Super Mario.
So that's good.
There he is. So he's covering off fashion trends there on Attic FM, Mr. Rowbottom. He continues to talk about... He plays a bit of Phil Collins, right? Because there's music in between a lot of these. He plays a bit of Phil Collins, and then he starts riffing about how much he respects and admires Collins. Mm. And also that takes him into some admiration of Cliff Richard. Again, it should be noted that all of this is entirely unironic. In fact, he goes so far as to say that they should actually get some awards, more awards than they've already
Let's
got.
Let's hear it.
So here he is talking about that.
Phil Collins, I'm Hanging Long Enough. That's the first track on his album, But Seriously, which is being released on Virgin Records. The reason Phil Collins called that album But Seriously is because all the songs are actually based on something real. And it includes the track Another Day in Paradise, which is based on the homeless. Things like that. I think Phil Collins is an amazing singer. I think Phil Collins and Cliff Richard are the best two male singers there are. They ought to get an award. Speaking of getting an award, I watched the Smash It poll winner's battle the other night. What did you think of it? Kylie Minogue, almost number one in the worst dresses. Cool, the stuff she's wearing now, she is totally weird.
Scandalized.
Some of the awards that people got, they really deserved it.
There you go.
He sounds a little bit sarcastic in that one.
He does, but he's not. I swear to you. I think he's being... Matt, you can tell us if we're completely misreading the situation. But if he's going to play Phil Collins on his show, right?
Mm.
And he genuinely seems to love and admire...
No, you're right. Collins, it's got to be sincere.
He's dead sincere. He wants them to get more awards. And Kylie Minogue, he's scandalised. What is she wearing?
Mm, I never realised all those tracks on that Phil Collins album were based on real things.
They're all based on something real.
And that one was based on the homeless.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, here he is, still riffing on the awards, the Smash Hit Poll Winners Party thing that he saw. And he's talking about the fact that Paula Abdul has won an award for her video with the dancing animated cat, which he's delighted about because he always knew that Abdul was going to be big. Here he is.
One of the awards, I think, was given to Paula Abdul, and it was actually for the song Opposites Attract. And Opposites Attract had an amazing video, which was sort of done with cartoon effects, and there was DJ Cat Rat, and he was in it, and she won an award for the video. And when I first saw that, I said, that's going to win in Smash It's Bonus Party. And it did.
And it did.
That is going to win at the Smash It's Poll Winners Party.
Opposites Attract.
You heard it here first. I put money that that's going to get a Smash Hits gong.
Yeah. Hits Hello? Gong. Hi, Matt Rowbottom. Yeah, what do you want? Absolutely. I'm definitely backing it for a win at the poll winners party. Yeah.
That's a shoo-in for the Smashies.
You can publish that. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
That's a good station, though. Attic FM. I wonder whether... Because the thing I like to think about is the fact that no one is listening.
Yes, exactly.
To this. It's complete blankness.
I know, he doesn't say what he did. I mean, I don't know if he circulated the tapes to friends or if it was just for his own amusement. I can't believe that it was just for his own amusement because he's really quite slick. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like, he's good. He could walk into a job at London's Capital FM or something, couldn't he?
Yes, heart.
On a commercial radio station. The fading. It's beautifully executed.
Man, they would fire Jamie Theakston if he walked in.
You know, for Rowbottom.
Definitely.
Theakston out, Rowbottom in. Abdul, Collins, playlist, makeover.
Upbeat chat.
Yeah.
Talk about fashion trends.
All the tips for the big awards.
You know, not being unpleasant about people winning awards, just saying they should get more awards.
The stories behind the albums.
I think it's refreshing, man. It's definitely the way that radio should go.
Mm-hmm. Based on the homeless.
But stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
But Rowbottom doesn't seem to be... Matt, you don't seem to be doing it anymore. And he sort of refers to himself as sounding like a buffoon. I mean, you know, we're being slightly... irreverent about some
it's
of your
fun
stuff.
To take the mickey out of kids.
Of course it
don't
is.
Don't you think that's the whole point
boys.
Of this segment?
Of course. That's what I was going to say. You asked for it. No, I'm joking. I'm only joking, Matt. Thank you so much for sending that stuff in. You sound great. And I think it's a shame if you haven't kept up with your DJing, because it sounds like you were good, man. You were, dare I say it, even better than, what was your guy called?
John Scott.
John Scott.
Well, come on. John Scott was earlier in his career.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, if you've got similar recordings, specifically you pretending to be a DJ, that's what we really like. Please, if you can be bothered, pop them into an MP3 file and send them to us here at Six Music, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk, because we'd love to hear them and we might play them.
Exactly. Thank you very much indeed once again, Matt. It is just gone 10:30 here on Six Music. It's time for the news. That was Feeder, sounding very much like the Foo Fighters with Come Back Around. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Sun's coming out. It's improving a little bit weather-wise out here in London. I hope it's nice where you are.
I'm angry.
Why? What's your problem?
Because the printer keeps printing out upstairs, and this has happened week after week.
Right.
And nothing's been done about it.
Yeah.
And how am I supposed to get the exciting emails if Charlotte has to go upstairs every time?
It's absolute disgrace.
I mean, we did discuss this last week, Ben, didn't we?
Ooh.
No, we did, though, didn't we?
Yes.
And nothing's been done.
Look, Ben, you've made Joe passive-aggressive, all right? On air. So what are you going to do now?
What's your next move, Ben?
Yeah, what's your...
I think I better take what do you got? 2 weeks off.
To have a 2 week holiday and go biking, motorbiking in Vietnam with Charlie Borman.
Not going with Charlie
Good
Borman.
Idea. And you're making a documentary about it.
No.
What? Called All the Way There.
Why aren't you not making a documentary?
It's going to be on Dave.
What, and have about 150 people?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So every time you fall over, you get your knee stroked.
You're missing a trick if
by Nursey.
Don't do a thing. So listen, last week I told a story about finding a wallet. One of many stories that I've told on this programme, which was not supported by Joe Cornish. But we've had a follow-up email about it, and it says, Dear Adam and Joe, this is from Raina Simpson. Raina, thank you for your email. He says, Adam's exhilarating story, he describes it as exhilarating, about finding a wallet spurred me to get in touch with my own. I work at a well-known university in London. You might be able to tell by my email address. And recently I found a wallet stuffed full with £950 in 50 quid notes with absolutely no identification whatsoever. As this was more money than I've ever seen in one place in my life, I briefly enjoyed pretending it was my money by locking myself in my office and throwing it in the air while I rolled around the floor giggling.
Bet that's not true.
I bet it is true. I then returned the money to the wallet and handed it in to our building manager like the model employee I am. To my knowledge, no one has come forward to ask if the money has been found, adding credibility to my theory that I inadvertently scuppered a drug deal. Love the show, by the way, says Raina Simpson. I mean, don't look, come in.
I'm laughing with
while
joy
I was reading
email.
That out.
It's a funny email.
You should have been thinking of things to rejoin with about it.
I was, Rejoined but you us. Know what? I couldn't think of anything.
That's not good enough.
It's not good enough, is it? Shall I go
and
on holiday
instead,
with Ben?
I finish reading the email. I look at you. You've got a stupid grin on your face.
I'm just suggesting that the only reason you read that email out is because
you described my story as exhilarating.
Exactly.
Correct.
The rest of it, I think, was just filler.
No, it not what not no no. No, not
I mean,
what, no.
He found the wallet, had £950 in it.
Amazing.
He threw it in the air, rolled in it, which I think is probably an
amazing
exaggeration.
Amazing thing number two, not an exaggeration, real, why would he lie?
End of the story, what's the end of the story?
He scuppered a drug deal. Amazing thing number three. That's three amazing things in one story, and all you've
got... Has he got any
got,
evidence for the drug deal?
All you've got is a stupid
grin. Does he know he scuppered his
No, but he...
Deal.
It's,
he's just a man, it's he fantasy,
said
it's pure fantasy.
No one came forward to ask for the money, that
the
added
facts,
credibility
the
to
facts,
his theory.
The facts of the matter are the following. He found a wallet with £950 in it,
yes.
which I agree is impressive. The end.
No, not the end.
Did he hand it back?
The money rolling. Yes, he handed it back. Were you even listening?
No, I tuned out by that point.
Clearly you tuned out. Listeners, if you think it's disgraceful, the way that Joe treats my interesting stories, not only my interesting stories, but the interesting stories of fellow listeners, then can we get some kind of petition going? No, I'm not serious about that. Don't worry about the petition. But I think, Raina, thank you. That was an interesting email, and I am so sorry. I'm so very sorry about the behaviour of my so-called colleague here at the programme with his silly grin. All right? Look at him.
They can't see my silly grin.
Can't they?
No.
Well, you can imagine it, though.
You can hear it, almost.
So, listen, folks, we're going to rejoin Text the Nation when Joe sorts his printer issues out.
Yes. Thank you, Charlotte. I believe went upstairs to get the printouts. She looks suitably chastened.
Chastened.
Are you chastened, Charlotte?
Mm.
She's nodding. She's behind glass. No, she doesn't care. Chastened. She's got no respect.
Well, before we do that, let's play some more music. This is the Yeah Yeah Yeahs with Zero. That's the new one from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. That's called Zero. Their new album is out on Monday. It's called It's Blitz. Ben, our producer, has informed us on our notes here that it was originally planned for release in April, but some idiot, says Ben, leaked the album. Ben's absolutely furious about this. Some idiot leaked the album onto the internet, so they brought it forward. Ben has just been in a mood about it for weeks, but now, Ben, it's all over because It's Blitz is coming out on Monday. I'm so sorry, Ben, about the leak. And the Yeah Yeah Yeahs are also very upset for you because they know how much it means to you. But it's all going to be fine. That was Zero by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and I think it's time for the Jingle Jungle now, isn't it?
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
Now, Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about building up a manifesto for gig etiquette, behaviour that we think should be enforced at live music venues in order to enhance the pleasure of everybody there. We've sort of neglected collecting our points, haven't we? We forgot to actually sort of write them down and, and put them in an order.
Things that we agreed on. We agreed on having, like, a demilitarised mosh zone.
That's right. So, order of height we had.
Yeah.
So you have to tell them your height when you buy your ticket and you get positioned in the auditorium depending on your height. This eliminates the problem of having your view obscured by tall people.
Height declaration.
We had a separate area for either that or a separate area for short people with some straw in it.
Yeah. An enclosure.
Yeah, with an electric fence and some straw.
Why do they need straw?
It's a bit dehumanising, isn't it?
Is it? On behalf of short people, I don't understand why it's implied that we need straw.
Just to keep the floor clean.
What are we going to do? We're just going to soil ourselves because we're short.
I don't know. And what else did we have?
Loud music in lavatories to cover airborne toxic event embarrassment.
Yeah. We're not saying that all these make the manifesto. We're going to have to whittle them down to the best ones at the end.
I tell you a good one was the decibel level. The bands have to declare if it's going to be allowed.
Right, decibel level, so you can gauge whether you're allowed to talk or not during the concert. Quiet bands, no talking.
No talking.
Also, lids on beers.
Lids on
beer. I mean, do they not serve cans anymore at these places?
Some, well,
cans are good because you can't really spill a can, can you? But then I suppose you can lob, health and safety reasons, maybe you can lob them and they're dangerous.
Well, if you compacted the can and
becomes a missile.
Becomes a dangerous missile.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a conflict there, isn't there? We want unspillable beer somehow. I got beer spilled all the way down my back at the Fleet Foxes gig.
You don't even like beer.
I don't really. Why? Are you suggesting I would have sucked it out of my trousers?
That's what we beer fans do.
That's what most people do.
Yeah, we like it.
Literally, early in the gig, it was like I weed myself for the rest of the gig.
Sometimes I deliberately try and get someone to spill beer on me so I can get free beer.
Really?
Yeah, and I suck it out of my sweater.
Wow, you're like Homer Simpson from The Simpsons. Have you seen that program?
I have, yeah.
It's brilliant. It's only on Sky.
You know, I saw an amazing thing the other day at a gig. A beautiful woman. Have I told you this already?
Possibly.
She was drinking a bottle of beer, and she reached back to scratch the back of her head, and she just tipped the whole bottle of beer down her back, but she didn't notice, and it just cascaded down her beautiful lady ponytail, down the back of her lovely dress.
Wow.
She had no clue about it, and I didn't think it was appropriate to let her know, because I thought maybe she would be embarrassed, you know what I mean?
That's a good idea for a spread in Men's Mag.
Uh-huh.
Just beer all over ladies.
That is a very good idea.
You'd like that.
I mean, that's a good idea for a whole magazine.
Beery ladies.
Beery birds.
Beer birds magazine. This week, Jennings pulled a bottle of Carling over her knees.
Tamsin spilt some stout on her face.
Read more.
Double
pages 8 to 60. Listen, as usual, we've just ranted on about our own things rather than reading text. So here are some listener suggestions for our gig behaviour manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Catherine in Newcastle. When a man, it's always a man, stands right in front of you and half headbangs, i.e. just enough to make you flinch every time his head nears your nose every few seconds. This is another symptom of being in a compacted crowd of people, mm-hmm. and any kind of head movement can threaten to nut the person behind.
Well, he should be in the demilitarized zone.
What about neck braces?
Neck braces to stop people doing that.
Just issue to everybody.
Is that not a bit impractical?
Expensive as well.
It's very expensive.
How would you stop that then?
Well, you just zap them.
It's a health and safety risk.
Now, if you see that kind of nodding, then the pigeon detectives go around.
Are we saying heads have to be held still?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit extreme, isn't it? Put it on the list. We'll whittle them down later. Here's one from Ali in Southport. As I've had many gigs ruined by people with bad body odour, perhaps a deodorant monitor or a pit sniffer should be employed to weed out the smellies. No deodorant, no entry to the gig. That seems quite fascistic as well.
Deodorant monitor. I've never been bothered by someone smelling
that. Neither have I, actually. Gigs are supposed to stink, aren't they?
I mean, the thing is that nowadays, since the smoking ban, you know, gigs smell different. They smell more of beer, which is a bit unpleasant. In the olden days, everything just smelled like
ciggies. Yeah, there's more sort of nuances of scent, aren't there?
Yeah.
Everything just used to be stinky cigs.
That's right, which used to cover up the smelly armpits and stuff like that.
Maybe it depends on the gig. Again, like a Fleet Foxes gig, you don't get a lot of hands being waved in the air. But if the arms are generally up, then I can see that it would be more of a problem. In a big crowd and people are waving, then you're going to get armpits in close proximity to your nose.
And proximity as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
It is now.
Yeah.
You know, the olfactory dimension is something that's not been explored by many bands, by which I mean to say, why don't bands like pump out smells at their gigs the way they do in Disneyland? You know what I mean?
Yes.
In Disneyland, they
I'm sure
pump
bands
out perfume.
Pump out some smells during their concerts.
The hold steady.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're pumping a lot of smells out there. But, you know, nice smells.
Right.
Has any band ever done that?
I don't know.
Don't make that noise!
What sort of smell would they pump out?
I don't know. The smell of fear or defeat or...
Fear.
No, you know what I mean?
Like, smell of defeat.
I could imagine the Flaming Lips pumping out the smell of chocolates or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well illustrated.
Or buns.
Buns.
Yeah,
sticky
like
buns.
Baking smells.
Something joyful.
Yeah, like a folky band. Mm. They could smell. They could smell of something comforting.
What would Radiohead pump out?
Well, they chemically smells. You know,
right?
Like,
yeah,
it smells associated with heavy industry and alienation and computers.
So, how does this fit onto the manifesto?
I don't know.
Doesn't really, does it?
No, smell. Just deodorant control. Smell
deodorant control. Yeah, pop that on the list. Here's one more from Simon in Bath. He says, "Do not cheer at the sudden but admittedly exciting presence of roadies doing their job before the band comes on."
Yeah.
"Anyone who is able to confuse an aging bearded noddy holder lookalike with the youthful sprites of today's modern bands should be removed immediately."
But people are cheering because the appearance of the roadies means the band's set beginning.
Sometimes it's ironic, sometimes it's a genuine mistake, and yeah, sometimes it's just an anticipatory excitement.
Right, right.
But Simon's not having it.
No cheering at the roadies.
Yeah. More?
Let's do some more after this next track, why don't we? And this is a Trail. It's a new track by the Trail Band.
By the band Trail, that's exciting.
The Trailers. And they are dealing with daily downloads in this track.
"This is the voice of the big British castle. It is the top of the hour. Ooh, that's wonderful. I got so bored with the last hour. I'm glad it's gone. Now here's the new one. It's exciting and it's new. How do you do?"
That's Rufus and Shaka Khan with Ain't Nobody. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. You know, Adam, I went to buy some bread during the week, right?
Yeah.
And I went to a lovely little sort of delicatessen near the Oval Tube.
What kind of bread are you after there?
You know, sort of rough-hewn, organic, properly baked loaf. You know, proper,
unsliced.
Proper tasty, proper bread.
Peasant bread. You can rip off hunks of it with your wine. Yeah.
So I went into the deli, but the deli was empty. There was nobody there. Instead, there was a sort of a customer person who said, "Oh, don't worry, mate, the Kev," or whatever the shopkeeper's name was, "he's just busy at the moment, he'll be back in a second, I'll give him a shout for you. Kev, I don't know, he's going to be up in a minute, don't worry, he'll be up in a minute, I'll give him a shout. Kev, some customer, want some bread? Yeah, I'll be back in a minute." So anyway, I waited possibly about 4 minutes.
Right.
And then the owner of the deli, nice man with a moustache.
Kev
came up from downstairs looking very sheepish, buttoning up his trousers.
What?
And he said, "Hello, sorry about that. And he quickly went over to a sink and he washed his hands. He sort of ran them under the tap.
Yeah.
And then said, what can I do for you? I said, I'd like that loaf of bread, please. Now, I was already thinking at this point, what was he doing?
Well, he went to the lab, didn't he?
Yeah, but it was too long for a number one.
Well, he was number twos then.
Yeah. So he served me the bread and I popped it. It was unwrapped.
Yeah.
With his bare hands, he picked the loaf up and popped it in a bag and gave it to me.
Right.
I took the loaf home, yum, 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 yummy, yummy, yum loaf, put it on the kitchen, the side of the kitchen sideboard, and I decided to tell my lovely girlfriend partner the story about what had happened before the purchase of the bread. She wouldn't touch the bread.
She
refused to eat the bread because she called it pooey bread. She said, I'm not having any of the pooey bread.
Poodo.
And, you know, then I went off the bread.
Right.
The poodo. I went right off it. I wouldn't have it. So for a few days, the loaf just sat there because we thought it might have pooey fingerprints on it. But then midweek we capitulated and my girlfriend said, oh, I had a slice of the pooey bread. It was delicious.
You know what I would have done?
What?
Toasted it.
Really?
That gets rid of any of that kind
really?
Of stuff.
Really? Doesn't it just enhance the flavour?
No. That'll get rid of you. I mean, because the thing is, even if you've got really, in our house, right, what we do is if the bread's really mouldy and there's all cultures and stuff on it, just toast that stuff.
Really?
And you can't
kill
tell.
It.
Yeah, you just toast it all up. It's nice.
You've got a weird sort of a Texas chainsaw kind of a house.
Yeah.
With the shared toothbrush, the mouldy bread being toasted. Are you okay?
It's family life for you. It's good. You get a bit of free penicillin.
Do you think we were wrong there about the bread? Would you have eaten that bread?
Certainly. Would have.
You would have tucked into it with extra relish.
Absolutely tucked in, yeah. Mm. Thinking, you know what? It tastes better.
It was the look on his face.
Of shame.
Yeah. He knew he'd done one. I knew he'd done one.
I'm surprised he didn't make more of a show of using the hand sanitizer.
Well, that would have made it explicit
that
he'd just wiped his bottom.
If he'd scrubbed up like a surgeon, you know?
Yeah. All right, what can I do for you?
Okay, absolutely sanitized now. Absolutely no poo anywhere on my hands, if that's what you're worried about.
That's how he talks as well.
Yeah. Like
he's
Mario.
Italian.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the
Princess Peach.
I come for you.
Someone here.
Oh, dear, I've fallen down chimney. Oh, but look, I found a lot of coins.
A lot of coins.
But where's this going?
I have no idea.
Anyway, that's my pooey bread story. But good one, huh? Better than your wallet story.
Only because I supported it. If that had been me telling that story, you would have been sat there going...
Ah, that story's a freestanding story. Standalone story. Great story. Beginning, middle and end. Punchy. Right. What a story.
Do you know what?
That's a Sony award-winning story.
Incidentally, all the laughter that I generated throughout that story, fake.
Genuine.
All fake.
Genuine.
It was all fake.
Genuine.
Fake
genuine.
Laughter. Right. Is it? Speaking of which, this track is called Too Fake, and it's by Hockey, and it's about my laughter that I was doing during your
that was a fake laugh.
Boring poo story about your poo bread.
It was a wicked story. That was Hockey with Too Fake. What, do you know anything about Hockey?
Too Fake. We've got. Is there anything in our list?
No. Hockey.
Hockey.
The band members are from all over the states, but they base themselves in Portland, Oregon.
Hey, everyone's living in Portland, Oregon now.
It's the hit place to be. Hockey, they've got long hair, and one of them's... They've got quite a lot of moustaches going on there.
Boy, they don't look like that sound at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, they look like hairy men from the 70s, from
a
rock band.
Big deal, then, Hockey?
Hockey.
It's not a particularly striking sound, is it?
Ooh, steady on.
I'm just being honest.
They're going to come at you with big...
Hockey sticks.
...pucks and smash your face
They're going to puck me up.
Absolutely. Hey, someone sent in a good joke about what we were just talking about.
Yeah, Matt in Bristol says, why did the baker have brown hands? Because he needed a poo.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's time
we're not going to dwell in that area.
It's time for a bit of a free play from me right now. And it is, let me see, I'll tell you, Ben, because I just had to burn off this CD as we were coming in. I was all in a fluster this morning. It's track 5. And it's a bit of Brian Eno. And I remember being... This is from his album Before and After Science, one of his solo albums that he did after leaving Roxy Music. One of his vocal ones when he was still working the vocals there. And he's got a funny little reedy voice. Are you familiar with Brian Eno's voice?
Not really.
And I remember playing this track and being ridiculed by my friend Patrick. And he just said, what are you listening to? And he thought this was the stupidest song ever. But I've since been proved correct in the credibility stakes. Because this is a brilliant song, And all intelligent, sane people know that this is a smash.
That would be a good Text the Nation one week.
Right.
Pathetic feuds from when you were really young.
Right.
That you still feel sort of hubristic victory about. Uh-huh. In your mid-30s.
I think I've mentioned it to him since. Like, I haven't seen him for ages, but I saw him a while back and I said, hey, do you remember the Brian Eno? Do you remember when he took the mick out of me for playing that song, Backwater, which is actually brilliant and everyone realises it's brilliant now? And he's like, yes, ridiculous song. So he still, he wasn't even capitulating. Mm. He made me furious all over again. Mm. I'm going to play it to you right now, see what you think of it. Maybe you'll start teasing me. But I like it. It reminds me of the kind of song that I might come up with for Song Wars, only obviously much better than anything I've come up with. This is Brian Eno with Backwater.
That was very nice. Patrick is wrong.
He's absolutely
wrong.
It's
a classic track. I like his horn sound there.
Yeah.
I'm running out of garage band songs on sounds on Song Wars.
Mm.
I think I've used all the good sounds. I need to either buy a new jam pack or we need to step up our equipment.
Right.
I'd like to be invited into a real studio with lots of equipment for one Song Wars one week. We have mentors, so we'd like to be contacted by professional producers who would, for free, let us come into their studios. I'm saying this as if we've thought about it.
I got close, though, because you know Chris Salt, the Salt Man?
Yeah.
He read my blog where I was talking about the fact that I was wishing someone from the band Landscape maybe would give me a call. You know, Landscape, they did the song Einstein a Go-Go, and Norman Bates were their big hits. But anyway, one of the guys in Landscape turns out to be a super producer. He produced the first two Spandau Ballet LPs, and he produced loads of people in the 80s. Amongst other achievements, he invented those octagonal syndromes.
Wow.
I mean, that was like, they summed up the 80s in many ways. Obviously, I can't remember his name. That would be too organized. But he, the Salt Man, got in touch with him via his MySpace site. And he said, I think he's going to give you a shout. He might help you out with your track. I was really excited. But it never happened.
I would have been very angry
as well. Would you have been angry?
I would have been, well, I would have thought it was unfair.
I thought it's legitimate to seek outside assistance.
I think if we do it, I think we should both do it.
You have to declare it.
I think you have to declare your outside interests, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that would be good one week if we both had production help. We could have new sounds. Who knows what would happen? It'd be amazing.
But what if, you know, what if Martin Fry calls you up one week and we've already started our songs and he says, oh, Joe, I'd really like to help you with your song. Would you refuse him just because of the... I mean, I wouldn't begrudge you a little outside intervention.
Oh, but I'd tell you. I'd call you. I'd say, hey, Martin Fry's got in touch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that'd be exciting. But we'll talk about that a bit later when we play the Song Wars songs again towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
But it's very exciting, isn't it, this week, because Michael Jackson's back.
He's back.
Jacko's back-o.
And he is looking amazing. He's had a new lady's haircut.
Very macho.
And he's had a lovely old lady's hair piece there attached to his head. And he seems to have had... This is all speculation, by the way. This is idle speculation. He's had... Seems to have had new surgery to correct the old surgery.
Well, people are saying he's had his chin strengthened. He's got more of a Desperate Dan sort of a chin.
Like, for a while, during all his trials and stuff, he was often to be pictured looking very haggard, understandably, because of all the stress, I would imagine. But also, his face seemed to be dissolving a little bit, whereas now it's, like, set nicely and it looks all back in place. You know what I mean? Like, it's looking fairly neat, which is nice. Like, he's had a sort of valet service.
Had it hoovered.
Yeah. Polished up and everything.
Yeah, he does look good. It was an exciting press conference. Did you see the press conference?
Yes, absolutely.
Apparently, they filmed it themselves and then issued the film to the media outlets. Is that not true? Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but certainly the BBC report on BBC TV suggested, or the reporter noted, that this footage was taken by Jackson's people, not the BBC.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was a very carefully stage-managed event to make sure that no one said anything untoward and to present... You know, a sort of appearance of Jacko being absolutely at his best, loads of fans, lots of excitement, complete non-ambiguous comeback for him.
Yeah. But has he, I mean, what is he, 51 now?
50.
Mm. I mean, surely he's just going to break, isn't he?
No, mate, he's a lot younger. Look, Clunk Eastwood, how old's he? 78, and he's making Gran Torino. 50, or a spring chicken at 50.
You reckon?
These days, yeah. People are going to be living to 150 pretty soon.
That's true, isn't
50s,
it?
50s, adolescence. He's going to be amazing. I saw Jacko live, but just I think the week after the first scandal broke.
Yeah.
When he was at Wembley. And it was very, very soon after the scandal had emerged. And he did that thing where he comes on stage and he holds a pose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the first time you've seen him. Oh, my God, there he is. He's got his hand in the air and his legs wide apart and he's looking super cool. And he holds that pose for the length of time that the crowd usually cheer.
Right.
Which, up until that point, had been longer than any other pop star in the world could possibly hold a static pose.
Uh-huh.
6 minutes, 5 minutes?
Wow.
It's exaggerating, probably. But you know what I mean? Yeah. A ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah.
In this concert, people stopped cheering after about 40 seconds.
Right.
But he kept the pose. He held the pose.
Hoping that they might start
again.
Yeah,
so there was about 2 minutes of silence before he went, woo, tick-tick-tick, ooh, and it started. And then he flew off at the end in a spaceship.
In a spaceship?
Yes.
Like, take that?
Yes, and a big tank came out and it was going to shoot the crowd, but he put a flower in the end and it didn't.
No, did
and
he?
And lots of children in rags came up and...
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a heck of a stage show, and I got free tickets off of the producer of the Adam and Joe Show at the time,
yeah.
So I thought I should see him. I thought this might be the end.
Sure.
To see him live.
So
he
this was
amazing.
What, like 15 years ago, 10 years ago?
He can lean forward further than any other human being.
Right.
Mm.
Well, he's got big clown shoes.
Exactly, with extended toes,
yeah.
So he's got increased leverage.
That's right.
That's the secret. Yeah. Anyway, listen, are you going to go and see him?
Wackles, no.
If you were offered free tickets to the Wackles comeback gig, no, why not?
Why? What would be the point?
Because he's an amazing megastar. It's like seeing Howard Hughes live or something.
No, I'm not interested.
Really?
I'm interested in his clown shoes. If you lean forward...
He
right
will do
forward,
the leaning forward.
If you could touch his little weird nose...
Against the floor and then stand
the
back up again.
And then pop back up. That,
he'll arrange that.
Yeah, I'd love to see
Here is a little bit of Jacko from the time before, you know, his image was a tiny bit tarnished when he was with the Jackson 5.
Tiny bit tarnished.
Little bit of tarnish on the old image. Rubbed it off. It's all right now. This is called Lovely One by the Jackson 5. What an extraordinary revelation, listeners, has just occurred during that record. It turns out, and I don't know why he didn't mention this, but if you've been listening all this morning, we played our Song Wars songs earlier, and Adam's 80s song had a sample of a lady saying, I'm a sexy lady.
I'm a sexy woman.
Turns out, and again, this might not mean much to you if you're not a regular listener. If you're not a regular listener, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But that was a sample of Sif.
Yeah.
The Icelandic sexy supermodel.
That's right.
Who we've been engaged in a bizarre sort of exchange stroke ineffectual courtship with over the last few months. It turns out Adam's just dropped casually into the conversation that he telephoned her and spoke to her without saying anything to either Ben or I, who feel equal claim to Sif's affections. Adam has stepped out of all protocol, called her, and recorded her voice for his song without mentioning it, and she's coming to see his gig on Friday.
Yeah, that's true.
What are you doing?
Well, the thing is that we got I'm not organised for this, you see. I can't... the reason I didn't mention it is because I recorded a lot more stuff with her that I was going to use in my track, the spoken word section. Mm. But my computer...
This is exactly what we were talking about Martin Fry calling up.
It's not the same, though, is it?
It's like a... Well, it's sexier.
Yeah, I guess.
Than Martin Fry calling.
It was all completely appropriate. There was no, like, flirtation on the phone or anything. It was completely businesslike.
Was.
No, she's above that, Sif. You know, she's very mature.
We better hope so.
But, yeah, so when we play our songs a little later on, you'll be able to hear it there. But, no, someone suggested that we get, like, someone emailed the show and said, why don't you get Sif on your 80s tracks, then you'll be killing two birds with one stone, you know? Because we were going to do an Icelandic song for Song
Wars. But then I would have got her on my track as well.
Right.
I mean, I think we should still do the Icelandic Song Wars.
Sorry, do you think that was underhand?
I wasn't underhand. I'm just... I'm fine. I'm very happy about you and Sif. I'm not sure what your wife's going to think, but... no, I'm happy about it. It would be exciting, I think. Sif, there's a lot of potential with Sif. She's very talented.
Yeah. Why don't you come to my gig on Friday and you can meet her?
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a lot... You'll be busy setting up the show.
Maybe.
A lot of time for me and Sif to chat.
That's right.
Yeah, you won't have time. Especially when she sees us both in the flesh.
She's seen that, she's seen some stuff that we've done on YouTube recently where we're looking fairly ropey, so I think she understands.
No, but I look much better in the flesh. I'm not very photogenic, but when you actually see us in the flesh, it's like, it's amazing. Forget about Adam.
Yeah.
Look at Joe.
Look at that one.
Look at that big one up there. Hey, it's time for the news on Six Music. We are performing an intervention, listeners. This might make some of you angry, but we are having the Stereophonics taken off.
Well, no, it might be a good one, though. We didn't give it much of a chance.
To the is it a new one?
I wouldn't believe your radio. It's not an old... Okay, well, let's not play it then.
Yeah. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. I'm still reeling from those revelations.
The Sith Revelations. Well, you know what we should do is play our Song Wars songs again, Ben. Have you got the Song Wars jingle there by any chance? Just to... Oop.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs, so check it out.
Yes, it's time to hear the Song Wars songs again, listeners. Song Wars is the part of the show where we go off and record songs on themes. If you think the following bits of music are a bit peculiar and lame, then do bear in mind that we've made them entirely on our owns. Is that the correct grammar?
Yes, that is, yeah.
In our rooms.
I'm just frightened of being beaten up by Stereophonics fans now.
Oh, don't worry. That's all right. You're allowed to have taste. But some people love the Stereophonics. They're brilliant. We just happen not to.
Yeah, but it's not balanced, though.
Nah, Stereophonics get played all the time by everybody.
Yeah, you know what?
Fine.
Actually, it wasn't about the taste. It was just we had a problem, a technical problem.
When I said you're allowed to have taste, I don't mean that the Stereophonics themselves are of bad taste, but you're allowed to have personal taste,
right?
You know, just because you dislike something doesn't mean it's bad.
I think that's what you're not allowed on the BBC.
Well, I don't know. You could say you love the Stereophonics, but get angry with me and then it'll be balanced.
I can't believe you took it off. You are a bad, bad, stupid man.
I hate them. I think they're an average band.
Really boring. They're not. They're good. They're brilliant.
They're annoying.
They rock. And he's great. The man, he's got like a leather jacket and big shades. He's and a quiff.
They write boring songs about driving.
Wrong. Absolutely wrong. You're wrong.
There we go. That's a bit of passionate balance there on the BBC.
Good.
The Song Wars songs, we do record them and write them entirely ourselves just using our laptops, so forgive their peculiarness. We'd like you to listen to them both and vote for your favourite via email. The email address is adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. This fortnight's theme, we don't really do it even fortnightly anymore, do we? Let's say this month's theme is then we only have to do it monthly.
It's
ultimate 80s.
It's the ultimate 80s. You went first last time, so I'll go first this time. This is my 80s song, which takes in all kinds of bits of the 80s and puts it in a big stinky vat and mixes it around. And also, if you listen carefully, you might hear our Icelandic friend Sif
now in he tells us
as well. Okay,
one thing that I really hate is how we are no longer in the 80s. I wish Doc Brown from Back to the Future could take me back there now in his DeLorean car. I'm going back to the 80s, a decade of fun. You could make lots of cash and gender bend in the sun. You could dress like a ponce or a pirate from space and draw wavy lines on your face. Margaret Thatcher, shoulder pads, New Kids on the Block, fresh body popping, funny Eddie Murphy, Metal Mickey, a Day-Glow sock,
New York girls who dressed all slutty, boys from Camden who were nutty, the king of pop when he was black, Shack Attack.
I live in the 80s, my life is fantastic. I've got a giant flat made of money and plastic. I play Space Invaders, I drive a C5. What a great time to be alive.
This is a sample of James Brown.
Scratching.
I'm a sexy woman.
We had the Beastie Boys for tea. Their behaviour was disgraceful. They vomited on Adamant and Boy George got a faceful. Ad-Rock broke my Rubik's Cube and Mike D punched Rick Astley. MCA watched MTV. The whole thing was just ghastly.
The 80s were destroyed by the Beastie Boys. They were so rude and made a terrible noise. Why did they have to
shout
at the end of every
line?
Before them everything was fine. Oh, take me back today, it's horrible here. There's crappy 80s music, unemployment and fear. Oh,
wait, they had those then, of course I nearly forgot. In fact, things haven't changed a lot.
Yeah, you see? A little bit of social comment at the end there.
Listen, good song, but putting that
social
aside for one
commentary.
Moment. Sif, if you're listening, if Adam phones you up, then you've got to realise that you... it's wrong to use the phrase belong to us, because that would be wrong, but you do, and to us both. So you can't just do things for Adam's song and then not tell me about it.
Right, right.
She's ours, not yours.
You are being creepy about it. I phoned her up in a very business-like way. It was all above board.
How can you get a woman to say, I'm a sexy woman in a business-like way?
She's a model. That's what she does, that kind of thing. It's acting. It's just acting.
That was very good. That was song number one. What's that called?
That's called the 80s song.
The 80s song. There you go. The email address to vote for that one is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. My song's called The Incredible Song, and it's an attempt to... imitate early 80s ABC, the Trevor Horn era. Mm. And this involves Martin Fry having an argument with his backing singers about a Hoover. This is called The Incredible Song.
When the world is like a huge potato and it looks as though you've had your chips, you thought that you could trust the captain. Now you're sailing on a sinking ship. Where's the Hoover? Don't interrupt my vocals.
I can't find it.
It's under the stairs.
No, it isn't.
Won't you leave me alone when I'm singing this incredible song?
No one understands my 80s genius.
Or perhaps you're just a melodramatic ponce.
How dare you? I'm leaving. I can't stand your stupid face.
I won't cry when you're gone. I hate you and your songs.
I'm amazing. You are average.
Got your purpose.
It's just my style of singing.
No, it isn't.
You called me a ponce.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll stay if you say that you love me and my incredible song.
Okay, I love you and your incredible song.
Good, because I'm hungry.
Now make me mighty.
You see, Sif would have performed that female backing part so beautifully.
You should have called her up. She would have been happy to do it.
I wouldn't have stepped out of line in that way.
Wow. She's a friend of the show.
Is she? Or is she just a friend of yours?
Oh, no.
They were the Song Wars songs, listeners. 80s song, an incredible song. Vote for your favourite. You can vote until Friday evening. The voting lines, that we don't have any lines, do we? But it sounds good. Close at what? When?
Charlotte goes home at midnight.
So, does she go home at midnight? That's not safe, is it?
We need longer. We need a longer set of conditions to read out.
And conditions, yeah.
Whenever Fern Cotton has to read out the terms and conditions, it takes about 5 minutes.
Fern Britton or
Fern
Cotton?
Cotton.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can vote up until Friday night if you're listening on the podcast or listen again. Every vote is counted. Thank you for your attention.
Now, here's some more 80s-tinged enjoyableness from LaRue. This is In for the Kill.
Would sound very good on an accordion on the Paris Metro, wouldn't it?
That's lovely stuff from LaRue. In for the Kill. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and I think it's time for us to wind up Text the Nation for this week. Let's have the jingle one more time, Ben.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation this week is all about gig etiquette. We're trying to draw up a manifesto for behaviour at gigs to improve the experience for everybody. How many points have we got so far?
Well, I would say around 6 good ones, but rather than finalise the list on air today, what we're going to do is leave it open so that you can continue sending ideas in throughout the week, and then we'll finalise it for next week's podcast.
Yeah, on Retro Text the Nation in next week's podcast.
Yeah,
if you don't listen to the podcast, Retro Text the Nation is an exciting opportunity for people to contribute to the Text the Nation theme during the week after the show. Does that make any sense? That then gets read out in the next podcast.
Beautifully explained.
Thank you. So, here are some more suggestions for gig etiquette. This is from Chris in Norwich, and he suggests an entrance examination. Now, this is a good idea that someone else has suggested as well. An entrance examination to ensure that only interested people get inside.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get these sort of touristy, casual people dipping into concerts who then don't really listen or chat or text their friends or only recognise the hits.
Right.
Stuff like that. Isn't that quite annoying?
That's very annoying. I wonder who those people are, though. I don't understand the mindset of someone who actually go out and buy a ticket. Maybe they're people who haven't actually purchased their tickets.
Yeah, or the friend's got a spare ticket or something.
Right.
But what do you think about that? An actual little exam. So you're asked a sort of random quiz question about the band, and if you get it wrong, no entry.
Uh-huh. But then it's difficult because you need the casual viewers to come along sometimes in order to be converted and then spread the word.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No.
Getting rid of that.
It's much, much more ruthless business now.
Okay. I like the exam. Let's
pop that on the manifesto there.
Yep.
Here's another one from Julian in Notts. He says, here's another gig suggestion. People who throw empty stroke, half-empty plastic glasses should be forced to stay behind and do the cleaning up. So, yes, you can throw things. That's fine. Be silly if you want. But you will clear them up afterwards.
We're turning the gig-going experience into something really very restrictive. And pathetic.
That's the idea, isn't it?
Yes. So if you're found littering...
Yeah, that's the whole THX1138 thing. It's a sort of future world.
You! Orange hair! Silly T-shirt!
Citizen 749, stay behind for cleaning up cups.
You were seen throwing a cup at the bass player of the Fleet Foxes. You must stay behind and clean up all the cups.
Violated
now.
Manifesto Code 7! Stay behind!
You have your entrance exam was below par.
Fail.
You will not be allowed into
exit.
The gig. Very good.
Here's another one from an anonymous texter.
Your armpits stink.
It's frightening. Somebody who has not sent their name in says, I love the idea of a demilitarized zone. You should note that this zone needs one rule, no complaining. Now, the idea here was to have a militarized and a demilitarized zone.
Mosh zone.
Yeah, so there was a zone where you could behave anarchically, but outside of that zone, you had to be very quiet and polite and just stand up. To be honest, I don't know why I've highlighted that text. I think I may have made a mistake.
Well,
so
what were they going to say that you could do?
Let's not get involved. I think it's a non-starter. Okay, here's a good one. This is Emily in Limehouse. At the start of a gig, when fans are being led into the venue, there should only be one door opened. When I go to gigs, I often queue for hours to ensure I get a good spot on the barrier. There's nothing worse than another door or gate being opened first, so people who arrive later get in earlier. So unfair!
Mm.
So basically, your position on the floor is linked to how early you turn up.
Yeah, it would take a lot longer to get everybody in, of course.
Well, you know. Great pains, great gains. Is that an expression? No, I just made it up.
Great pains, great gains. From
Silence.
Sage Guru Cornish.
Yeah, another one?
Yeah, go on, give us one more before we wrap this up.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Here we go. This is from Lee. He says, I think all venues should have circles painted on the floor in which you must stand alone. In the circle.
Why?
There is a stand which holds headphones and a graphic equalizer so you can experience perfect sound to your liking and a drink holder. It also has nodes. I don't know what nodes are, but it must have them. So the other thing you could do, Lee, is remove the band and stay at home.
Yeah. Well, no, what he's talking about doing his own personal sound mix on the audio.
Though. Yeah. That's quite a good idea, though.
That
it's a bit like, you know, in Disneyland, the 360-degree cinema, where they have to have rails in case you get dizzy and fall over?
Sure.
It's a bit like that. Or someone else suggested lecterns.
Yeah.
Like...
what are you doing with the lecterns?
Well, everyone has a lectern, so you've got something to lean on. It would have a cup holder.
Right.
And you'd have your graphic equalizer there as well.
Oh, my goodness. This is getting quite a long way away from the actual point of going to a gig, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but that was taken as read from the beginning
right,
of the Text the Nation, I think.
So, yes, just big, comfy, first-class style seats. Why not?
Yeah. Could do. I don't know. I like the idea of a painted circle.
Because
you could electrify it. And then if you stepped out of it, it's going
like,
too far. It's
like
too
Tron,
far.
Isn't it?
Like Tron.
Thank you very much for all your texts and emails, and you can keep them coming in during the week if you're listening to this on Listen Again or on the podcast, and you might get your communications included in Retro Text the Nation in next week's podcast. Confused? There's no need to be. Just download the podcast and it'll all become clear. Right now, we have a trail for the lovely Nimone. Check it out.
Teenage Fan Club there with What You Do To Me. This has been Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. I'm assuming this is our goodbye link, isn't it, Ben? Yeah, thanks very much for listening, and a huge thank you to every single person who emails and texts. We do read every single email, as we keep telling you, but it's true, we get them sent to us at home, and usually on a Thursday. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, and we
appreciate... I put a good couple of hours aside and
Definitely.
Read every single one, and we listen to every clip and look at every picture that people send. So if you've sent something and are getting annoyed that maybe you're being ignored, it'll be just because we haven't had time to mention it on the show. We will have very much looked and enjoyed and appreciated it at home.
Yeah, and all the care and attention that goes into the messages, you know, we get really quite involved messages a lot of the time.
Yeah, which is why we end up in complicated situations with some of our listeners. Sorry,
on.
I'm sorry.
You know, what am
I'm
I,
sorry.
You get
I'm
on
sorry.
The train now. Go
I'm
back
sorry.
To my
I
family, and my wife's going to beat the living heck out of me for the whole weekend.
Yeah. I think she and I should both be there on Friday, just to make sure everything is above board. Yeah, I think I should have the electric sticks as well, the prods.
Ooh.
We should introduce the gig manifesto for your gig on Friday.
We could get the electric six to hold the electric sticks.
Yeah.
That
imagine,
would be good.
Imagine the,
I'm imagining
the sheer voltage.
Yeah, so listen, we're going to have a lot to talk about on next week's show then, aren't we?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe not.
And, of course, we'll be finding out who is the winner of the 80s Song Wars. Keep voting throughout the week for that.
Yeah, and the podcast will be available for download, I think, about Tuesday it pops
Monday
up.
Night.
Yeah, Monday night, whenever the head of Six Music has a chance to listen to it to check that it's complied with all the regulations.
Complied.
And there's no bullying or swearing.
Absolutely, and no extreme racism.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a few people...
Yes, Adam Buxton.
What? What does that mean?
It's just a bit of fun.
Okay, bit of fun.
Just random, meaningless
bit
fun.
Bit of random fun.
That's the end of the show. Liz Kershaw coming up next. Thanks for listening.
Take care. Have a good week. Bye.
Gorillaz.